Welcome to the Mags and Brags podcast, episode 15. There is so much to talk about in this episode, so much so that I am gutted that we only have a couple of minutes together, Roisin and I, because I know you'll have seen that our guest is extra special, Paul Black. But Roisin is our guest in herself because she's a star now.
How funny.
I've heard from her. I've heard from her in about 2 weeks.
And do you know what? That's actually because I've been doing overtime at work. Also, guys, sorry about the audio for this. It's because my laptop won't turn on. So we're recording on Zoom. Back to our roots. But yeah, the old G-Box, who would have thought it? Nab me.
I would have thought it. I could see you on there. Like, I think knowing you and knowing what you're like, I think you're the perfect fit. Although there were... I've got to say, there were a couple of tweets that made me laugh once you'd been on it. Oh, it was hanging.
Well, do you know, that's exactly what I was going to say as well, that I suppose I could say it's been in that. What Gogglebox has taught me in the short 2 weeks I've been on it is self-restraint to respond, because obviously like you shouldn't respond really because it just sort of fans the flames. See, not seeing these things, and also all my social media is currently private queen, and sometimes I'm like, I have a great reply, but I'm like, no. Rise above it. So it's teaching me patience. It's good for my kids.
The thing is, it comes, like, I mean, I know that you won't be able to do that just now and everything will be very sensitive, but sometimes when you just become, like, you've been in the game for a while, you can't help yourself but reply. I wanted to reply to those people on Twitter and then I was like, nah, you can't. But then what I did was I thought, try and remain more positive. So take the funny ones, screenshot those, and then discuss those to Roisin. But it was more like just people moaning about the accent. And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, right? You're in England and you can't understand us.
Guys, what That's I would okay. say is that it's a miracle that this podcast has so many listeners, considering I speak like, as one lovely person put it, that I have marbles in my mouth. Which is, actually, to be fair, that's a belter. I would say that as well. But we'll need to sub the podcast soon. I don't even think I'm that hard to understand. I think the thing is, because I speak so fast, I'm speaking to Joe. But yeah. What is the saying that you said? I was trying to say this to Joe, but I couldn't remember it. When you dance with the clowns, you join the circus. Is that what you say?
Do you know who taught me that, actually? Not taught me it, but like used it once. Oh, that was my Uber Eats. It's my dinner's on the move. I think it was actually Amber. Hello, Amber, if you're listening. Amber that does
Amber,
she's her own podcast.
Amber at Tune to the Moon.
Yeah, that's right. We shout out. I'm trying to think. I think it's, yeah, is it Dance with the Clowns, Join the
or
Circus?
Or Play with the Clowns or something. Something,
yeah, I
anyway.
Think so. She used to say it to me because she would ignore people that would troll her, whereas I am the opposite. I go back in. I'm like, come on then. You don't want to fight?
Well, do you know what's quite funny? I think, like, from all the Gogglebox stuff, obviously, because it was like in the press, hard off the press, that was actually quite stressful. Because obviously everybody was speaking about it for a while, like, I'm very aware it'll die down and I will once again return to dust. But I really didn't read Twitter a lot for my own mental health. I actually have stayed away from social media for like 3 weeks. I wouldn't say I was on a social media break because I have been still scrolling every single day and I have posted a few Instagram pictures, but I'm only human. But I have been staying away from social media and I have had a few people, and I mean, God love you, this is not a dig at you if you've messaged me this, but I've had have a few people that are like, ignore all the terrible comments. And I'm like, I was. I'm like, I was ignoring the terrible comments. Now you've said that, I need to see what they are. I know, and that's not, if you send me a nice message, I really appreciate it because I get it's nice. But a few people have just been like, oh, ignore all the hate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was.
But do you know what, see, it's like your bigger sister here. If you've just tuned in for the first time, I'm not Roisin's big sister in real life. But playing the role of, I would say just ignore it, because at the start, you're always going to get it because people don't like change. And when change happens, they get upset and they get vocal about it because why? They're hiding behind the keyboard. So they feel that they can. So then, and then what happens is things start to turn around and you find that people end up going, oh, you know what? I really like this. I like what I've got now.
Well, I would also say that nothing unites a country like slag and an accent. That, because there was people from all walks of life defending me and Joe, which is very nice. But yeah, that was the whole excitement. I wish I could have told you more about it before, but I was, as we speak about in this episode, I was sworn to secrecy.
But can we just put out there that I can do a little bit?
You did know. You know, you can fully say that you know. No, it's like when somebody has a baby and it's like, can't wait.
Guys, I'm used to signing NDAs and embargoed things. It's cool. I'm all good.
Oh my God, I'm literally not used to it. To be fair, I know the rules. Anything.
Do you know the best part of it is though, and I feel like I need to mention this, and I'm sure like, you know, your producers won't mind me saying this because it's real life from my perspective, but you're probably thinking, well, now that Roisin is a star and she's on Gogglebox, did you manage to get her on the breakfast show? Because that would have been fitting to have her on the commercial station. The answer is no, because they are very, very...
Just don't do any press.
Yeah, so they do no press. So even though we get such a lovely email back, hi there, producer John. Even though we appreciate that Cassie, apparently spelt correctly, because producer John said she spelt it with C-A-S-S-I, with no E.
They did tell me that they felt dead bad.
Yeah, they were like, unfortunately, we can't have any of our cast members speak to any press, especially new members or whatever. So we were like, okay. So the answer is no.
I would have been so nervous, and I also wouldn't have had anything interesting to say.
I know, but I've been so excited because I'd be like introing, like a guest, like what we
could
do
be like,
when we get like an Ed Sheeran and an Anne-Marie, and then it's like, oh, please welcome the brand new, one of the only Scottish contestants to make it on Gogglebox. It is Roisin and Joan. I'd be like, Roisin!
I know, it's so funny. It would have been like when Worlds Collide. I would have started doing the podcast. No, I know. It's all been very exciting, but I'm hoping that, and I have to say, I'm enjoying the private life on social media, even though I'm still posting. I can
life
see why people
social
like
media
this.
Is good. Life is busy. Life is good about social media. Busy.
Yeah, I can see. I do understand though. Like, see, obviously, I've like not posted a TikTok in like 3 weeks. Again, I know that's not a very long time, but I can see why people that step away from social media and go on like social media breaks. I can see why it becomes really hard to get back into it.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, well, should I? And the thought of making my accounts off private, I'm like, ah, but I will do it.
This week, we are so excited for this. And I know we can say that and you sometimes go, but are you actually excited? No, we really are.
We're excited.
We wanted to launch 2022 with this person and we still managed to do it because you've just basically had Roisin and I for the last like couple
that's
months.
True.
But now we have an extra special guest. And you'll know who it is already because the artwork is out there on the Instagram page. It is comedian Paul Black.
Woo! Woo! Did I say hi now?
No, you can say hi, that's fine.
I thought Roisin was going to do an intro like, for me as well.
See, because it's a podcast, I've got this thing where I go into radio mode and then I feel like I need to give it a massive build and then I realise it's just fucking conversation. Like it's just
no, but I like that. See, this is good because now this is just flowing. I don't need to say hi, thanks so much for having me on. Not that I'm not grateful, just that it sounds a bit awkward coming for me. But thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. We manifested your presence.
We did. We had you on a mood board. What do you call it? Our vision board.
Well, that's. I would love to be on it. I'm glad I was on a vision board. That's very, very exciting for me.
People were begging for you. They were begging.
What did they say exactly? No, I'm kidding.
Well, I just we literally
send
asked
me all the DMs.
It was from Paul Black _. Please, can I come on?
All your burner accounts.
Oh, aye.
Get Paul Black on. Get him on.
Because you know, I've been catfished now. No, not being catfished. I've been, what's the, how do I describe that? Somebody's used my pictures and made
That's when you know you've made it. That's class.
Well, that's what it's called, Paul Black Investor. And it's about how to invest in stocks. And it's just got my picture and posted.
Is it like
on
that?
Shut
that
up.
Like Fortrade and stuff.
Forex.
That's literally that like the Tinder swindler. But it's not. It's kind of similar.
But I feel you need to be an idiot if you're going to fall for it. Someone did it on TikTok as well, and I'm like, right, okay, this is perfect for me. Because my pals are saying to me, you've made them up so you can try and get verified. And I was like, I wish I'd thought of that. It wouldn't even fucking work. Trust me, I'm desperate for that verification. You know, I just need the self-esteem that comes with it.
You're not verified already.
I'm a hell. I've tried. Everyone goes out pretending they don't want to be verified. I've tried, trust me. I've applied here, there, and everywhere. It's no fucking happening.
Are you not verified on Twitter?
I'm not verified on anything, Cassie. It's pathetic. I know,
I can't believe
my ego can't take it much longer. Somebody needs to step in and pull some strings.
I wonder what we could do. Like,
well, Cassie, you're a verified individual.
I know. Do you know what? I'm trying to think. It actually happened because I think I did go for it as well. And I'm talking about 3 years ago. And I remember the day I woke up. It was a Sunday morning. And I woke up. It was about 10 o'clock. I think I'd been out gigging the night before. And in fact, do you know what? I kind of wish it came in when I was hungover because it would have cheered me up. But I was like, oh, yeah, beauty. I'm verified. I was pure doubt.
I want that feeling, Cassie. That's what I want. I think life's too short to pretend you don't care about those things. Because they are pathetic and shallow, but they mean everything to me.
They are.
Also, what do you care about in that? You can still care about social media achievements. I care about that.
I guess I do as well, actually. It's good to like share. But sometimes I always feel like, see, if you hit a follower milestone or something, and I'm like, oh, I should share that. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a gimp. But then,
I know what you mean.
That's what I do. No offense if you have done that. But I have done it as well. But
Paul, from you, it would be funny. Let's see if you hit 200k on TikTok. Please get the balloons and do the bit, but just just make it into a sketch.
Well, this is great that you said that, because this has reminded me of a very good story. So my pals obviously know that I've got some followers online and they love to just slag me all the time about it. So I went out for lunch with a few of my friends to this place, and they messaged that place on Instagram, and I went out for a fag. And they said, we're here with Paul Black from TikTok. And they said, he's just hit 50k followers and you could bring out some balloons or something. Obviously, I'm none the wiser. I come back to my seat and they're all giggling. I'm like, what's happening? Why are you all laughing? And they're like, nah. And I'm like, why are you laughing? 2 seconds later, the full staff come out with a bottle of sparkling champagne with sparklers in it. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. And like, congratulations on hitting 50k followers. And I was like, I just want to clarify, I didn't ask that they're taking the piss out of me by doing this. And they're all fucking howling. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. Everyone in the restaurant's looking around. And then I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then I was like, also, guys, just to clarify, I hit 50k ages ago. I've surpassed that. So if you're gonna embarrass me, at least say 150k, and then we can talk. But then that wasn't even fucking it. So I'm like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Can't believe my evil friends did this to me. And then another 5 minutes pass. And they come out with a big pancake stack with 50k written on it and Nutella with some more sparklers, and everyone in the restaurant claps.
Honestly,
this is the worst day of my life. And I'm like, see, to be fair, I love to embarrass my pals, and we all date to each other, but I thought that was too far. I still haven't, sought revenge.
Did you get it all for free, though? Because it's actually a really good setup.
I know, but thing is, I drove there, and they all didn't. They all came in my car, so they all got to drink the champagne. And I was just sitting there, so mortified, funny, embarrassed, thinking, imagine, I was like, all these strangers think that I'm the type of person that goes out and celebrates hitting 50k followers and has a big party.
People be writing about you in title life.
I know. Well, see, this is why I'm here, to set the record straight. so they can't tell lies.
You need to start having secrets, and then people will be on about you, because they'll be trying to get to the bottom of it.
Or creating them. Just create your own secrets.
Well, see, do you just want to be my publicist? Because I hear that these things are good. But you just create, put rumours out there. And Cassie, does it look like you want to be my publicist?
No, not. You know, they say all press is good press. I've never agreed with that. I think...
Aye, it's not true.
I would be a good publicist because I'm a... pathological liar, so I can probably
good, yes. Yeah, I like these. I was reading about these, an article with something the other day, but spin doctors, they call them now. They just change the narrative of a story. Like, they basically, if there's some bad press, they're like, employ people that specifically,
and that's like a respected career.
And you know what, that's a bit of a talent. Maybe you just need to be like a positive person that sees the good in things. I wouldn't be doing that.
I'd be like the opposite.
You can employ me to make it worse. I could do that. But just put some feelers out, do you know what I mean? We need to drum up some press. As you told me off mic earlier, Cass, that someone's told you that I lived in Langside Avenue, which I would love to live in, which I simply do not. So I like that rumour's gone about, and I think we need more rumours of that elk.
Always you'll think- be here. I feel like, again, I don't do the whole, Roisin does the whole manifesting. Her and I have done a whole podcast where we basically talked about how I'm just not on board with it, but I need to be. But you can manifest that. You will be here soon.
Roisin. I love to manifest. I kind of stop manifesting.
Me neither. But then because I'm quite anxious, sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm going to manifest No, I can't even say it out loud because then it may happen. But I'm always like, I'm going to manifest bad things happening to me.
Well, do you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I was reading about when people book their funerals, like, now just, it's like apparently like a very adult and responsible thing to do. Like, obviously, not at our age, but like, I mean.
Well, I was listening to your playlist earlier on Spotify.
Oh my, yeah, well, that's.
Paul,
first of all,
well, do you know why? Because, you know, we find ourselves in these internet holes. I was going to go on and listen to one of your podcasts, right, which would have been the good thing to do, just to see what kind of stuff you'd been talking about previously. And instead, I found myself in Paul Black's funeral songs playlist on Spotify, and some great choices in there. I'm actually going to have a look just
now.
What would your funeral song be?
Oh, he's got loads.
That's the thing. I've said this before. I made a TikTok about my funeral because what I was going to say about people paying for them, it's like I wouldn't even... Even though I'm contradicting myself now that Cassie has brought up that I do have a funeral playlist and I just brought up that I have a plan for my funeral TikTok, but I wouldn't be manifesting that. I'm not putting that energy out there. I'm not going to manifest dying, and I'm certainly no pain.
Paul, there's nothing more, right, than this, a celebration of life with your picture in it. Paul Donald Black, the fourth...
Don't tell them I'm missing.
To be continued or TBC, right? There's nothing more.
It's a great picture,
than that.
Thank you. Do you know what? You're right, and I'm just basically out here telling lies now. But since you brought, I completely forgot about that. But my funeral will go off. Let me tell you, it's going to go. Now I said I've got to have. I will probably be at Hampden, and it's going to be ticketed. I've said this before.
How much would you pay for a ticket? Would you buy them, or would it be like a ballot situation?
I think it'll be a ballot because you get priority. There'll be like O2 priority for nearest and dearest, and then the rest like there's. There's got to be people wanting to come. There will be.
Can we discuss?
Can I pre-book? Oh, I thought you were going to say, can we be in the last?
No, I was going to say, I wanted to discuss just a few of the songs on here because Young at Heart by the Bluebells, I mean, a classic. I loved that. I was dancing about the Scottish Music Awards. They were there and I was in my absolute element.
Oh, it's
Caledonia,
so good.
A great one.
Of course.
You could not have that.
What about Oni Change Pass by Celine Dion? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Oni Change Pass.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
Very close. So
this was Oni Change Pass. this is a song when Celine Dion only released French music back in the day. So, French Canadian. So, I discovered this song in a film, one of my favourite films. And it's like, I have no idea what she's saying. But it just I just fucking love it.
Sometimes the mystery adds to it though.
It does, and I've learned all the words in French, but I don't really know. Except one bit where she just keeps shouting like, "une petite fille," which is like, "I'm a small woman." So
nice. She's not quite tall, Celine Dion.
I know. I don't know. She's quite lanky. I think.
I would peg her.
That's probably the wrong translation. I'm basing that on my higher D in French. So, I think that just means little women, maybe, or a little woman.
Her concert at the Hydro was unbelievable.
I'll be there.
Oh, I swear, Paul, you would have been. Do you know what? It was full of women at all ages, just loving life. Like, you know, like if you see like maybe like a normal stereotypical scenario of like women watching maybe like a Barry Manilow, and you're getting all these little ladies like, oh my god, oh my god. But Celine Dion, it was like that, but it was just women.
But I'm loving that she's got that up your comeback on TikTok now. Not a comeback, she didn't, she never went away, but I mean, it's all coming back to me now. Is like such a TikTok song now. People of all ages, and it's about time. But my favourite Celine Dion song, apart from that one that's on my funeral playlist, is I'm Alive, because it reminds me of going to like an 18th or a 21st, or maybe more so, my favourite, a 40. That's that type of vibe. Cassie, I don't know if you drop that when you're doing your...
The sets, yeah. Well, do you like the GBX version of it?
Of course I do. How do you think I've ever heard it? Of course I like the GBX version.
Georgia Boys version.
If you can put a donk on it, I'll listen. If you can make it more bammy.
When you were describing the Celine Dion concert, Cassie, that actually could have written the role that were sitting behind me, Paul, at your show at the Armadillo.
Right. Well, this is interesting. You bring this up.
this is your brag, Paul. Oh, yes,
I wasn't going to say this, my brag, because I thought I don't want to be like too brag. I was just going to make something.
People always say this, though. This is what it's for.
Right, okay, right. Yes, my brag. Yes, I did just did a show at the Armadillo. And it was
woo! I was in the audience. It was fucking class. Yes.
And Cassie?
Well, I told you, Paul, but I was at the Crown Plaza and Gary.
Oh, so you are? I know what you were doing.
Gary Little was on stage. You must know Gary Little.
Aye, aye, aye.
So he was doing 20 minutes at the event I was at, and I went on and made the joke beforehand. I said something like, no, we were going to get Paul Black, but he's doing the Armadillo tonight, so unfortunately we've got Gary Little instead.
Oh, good, good. Oh, was Paul Black night across Glasgow then, that's good.
Everybody who was anybody was there. I was like, this is
I don't realise this, because see when you're on stage, right, you can't fucking see anything. The lights are shining on you. You can't. I can see maybe first.
It's huge though. I didn't realize that. Cause see, I was like in row T, maybe T, like. But I was
like a shite seat.
No, do you know what? It actually wasn't, because it was down on the ground. So I was
They're all good. They're all good.
I was in the old pits. But then I seen from somebody's Instagram story that the seats went right up high, up the back, and I thought it was just like. And it was so funny. See, when you said, I said, I went with my friend Erin, and I was like, this reminds me of his choices for life. And then see, when you said that at the beginning, I was like, whoa, this is going to be a great night. And it was. And I tell you, nobody had a better night than the woman four seats removed in the row behind me. She was nearly needed an ambulance.
What age would you say she was?
I would say she must have been, it looked like to me like a works night out scenario. There was a few different ages going on.
Music to my ears.
But
this is the
mid-50s.
Oh, fucking perfect. Is my goal in life. That's what I want my fan base to be. Oh, maybe gives you more compliments than a middle-aged woman. And if I'm having a gaff with my pals, I'm in the kitchen talking to them all. I've just gravitate towards middle-aged women. I always have. Glad that they're in my audience.
I think some of them must have been like, I think some of the people that were sitting behind me, again, works night out scenario, they must have not seen your videos before, because it was that way the woman was laughing. We were starting laughing at her as well. She was laughing so ferociously. I was like, she looked like she was like electric. She went, and I was like, she is having like, you know, when people make that, put that sound on TikTok and it's like, it's like a core memory. She was pure.
When I'm done, they're all gone. Like, you're still getting all these perspectives that I'm just not getting at.
Aye, so I was doing that gig in the Crown Plaza and gutted that obviously I missed your gig. I know. And then Roshi was pure making me jealous at the same time. Like, I'm going! And I was like, but you know, you were saying you love a middle-aged woman. Oh, a lady came into the Crown Plaza for a drink before your gig, and she was talking to me and she was so excited for it. And then I got to see her after it as well, because she came back in. So it was the aftermath. And she was trying to like tell me all the jokes, but you know, that makes noise.
It's about comedy shows. People always do it, and then they were doing this bit, and then it's like the reason you're known.
I'm like, oh, brilliant, that sounds great.
I was doing that same thing at your show. I was like, and then he did this joke, and it was, and then I was, oh, you had to be there. My favorite was the opening bit.
What, the dance?
The Tina Belcher sort of move.
We made a behind the scenes video, but kind of just for like, promotional reasons, like just to send it out to people to show them the kind of crowd interaction. And there's a really good clip in it where I'm like, if I just say so myself, but where I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. See when the curtains open, I'm going to do this wee dance. So it reminded me of Beyonce's Beychella when they have that cut and she changes outfit and it's like for one weekend to the next. They cut it and then it was suddenly when it was opening and all the crowds were there. Looks class.
Have you actually watched her in any documentaries when she choreographs her own dancers, like how particular she is, every single thing.
Iconic.
I watch her in awe. I just watch her in awe. And even the Coachella, what you're talking about, every single one of them, I'm just like, I'm blown away by that kind of stuff.
That was incredible. And that's why it really, really pissed me off. You know, when you just get a random guy that will say, you know, Beyonce's overrated.
Oh,
like, no. I know what you're trying to say. You don't think her tunes are that good, but if you really, which is obviously false, but if you want to dissect that, you really need to look into it. There's not one thing overrated about that woman. No.
Oh my God, that's funny, because I actually say that I don't think Beyonce's
overrated. Well, stop saying it.
I know, but do you know what I think? Do you know what annoys me? The whole girl boss thing, girl bossery, sometimes. I mean, she is
back with a man. Is it because she got back with a man?
And just like how all her clothes are made in sweatshops. And she's like,
aye, this is true. True.
But our music class, but in fairness, the whole feminism thing, she saw a fucking opportunity and she ran with it. I would do the same if I had any level of skill, attractiveness.
I feel like as well, Beyonce was like a bit of a gimp for a while. Now she's like, took her a while to be properly cool. No, I think she is. Yeah. So she was finding her feet, you know, times are changing.
That was another one, another diva that I went to see at the Hydro, bought tickets to go and see her. Phenomenal. Loved it, loved it.
I've never
would love to go and see Beyonce.
Again, just I was that weirdo in the audience. Like everyone was jumping up and down. I'm just like there catching flies. Like, you're just fucking great. I love you.
I didn't go to concerts a lot when I was younger. I don't know why. And now that's like all I do. And I'm just like, I'm like, there's so many people I've missed when they've came to Glasgow. Like Britney. I miss Britney in Glasgow. Aww.
She didn't but, hear quite recently.
Aye, it wasn't that long ago. I think it was like 2017 or something. But I am today, this morning, I was up O2 Priority actually, trying to getting codes off people that have O2 networks to buy Lady Gaga tickets for London today. Right?
Oh, that would be fucking amazing.
I'm the biggest fan, right? And I've never seen her. When she came to Glasgow last, I was like 15. I was definitely still too far in the closet to go to a Lady Gaga. So I didn't go to that one. I was like, oh, I wish I went to that. And then our next one, she played London. You know that way when they do the UK tour and they just go to London?
Yeah, sometimes they do like Birmingham, which always blows me.
She did Birmingham on that one as well, actually, but just no Scotland. So me and my friends got tickets and we were like, we got on the train down and then got a wee email as soon as we were like, I think we were at maybe, what's like the first stop, Preston or something. We were doing there. That's where we got to. And we got an email and it was like, show cancelled.
Oh, God, devastation.
Or something. She got fibromyalgia, she had to cancel. Oh. So I gutted. And knew this time, I wanted to go so bad. I was like, this was also, this concert was meant to be 2 years ago, obviously, and then got rescheduled twice. So today, I'm not ashamed to admit, I dropped £500 on Lady Gaga.
No, I think that's totally worth it.
Money well spent. Golden Circle, you know what I mean? Golden Circle.
Hold on, wait, how many tickets? How many?
Me, it's not even that bad.
Well, that's actually, okay, it's all right, that's a fucking all right. Bargain.
I mean, yeah. It's. I would normally no pay something like that unless it was like a festival or that, but I was like, £170. I was like, fuck it, I've waited so long. I'm going to do it.
Angel, have got your wages in for the Armadillo Super. Like, exactly. All right. Aye.
What do you think bought them? What do you think that allowed me to drop £500 on Lady Gaga?
Who's the person, if you could see anybody? I always ask these questions, people answer me and I never know who they are.
Dead as well, anybody. People dead or still alive?
Throw in the dead people as well.
Frank Sinatra, would love it. Would absolutely love it.
You know, right, I heard that Frank Sinatra in like the 80s or something performed at Ibrox Stadium.
Obviously, yeah, I think he did.
I think he did. Ibrox.
Yeah, which Harry Styles was following.
Yes. Boy's footsteps. Wonder if he'll sing simply the best.
I live in fear. Like I don't know if what your football leanings are, guys, but I'm really scared that Harry Styles is going to go to that stadium and he'll just be like, oh yeah, it's just a football stadium. They'll make him like take a picture in the trophy room or something. And they're going to get him in. I'm terrified.
Who is his behind the scenes sort of fucking? Like who arranged this?
I've never seen a concert in Ibrox in my life. I used to think that someone once lied to me and told me that Tina Turner performed Simply Best at Ibrox Live once. I'm like, that's so iconic, to be fair. I'm not a Rangers fan, but that's iconic. And I was looking up, it just never happened.
It's probably Jane McDonald. She would probably do it.
That's what I'd see. If I could see it. Alive or dead, Jane McDonald.
I thought Jane McDonald was like 73. My mum was like, no.
What age is she? I'm just obsessed with her album of covers and they're all fucking terrible, but so good. It's like, I always like to put them on at a gaff. Ray of Light. She does a cover of Ray of Light by Madonna and it's
what the
so
hell?
That's what I'd see. Madonna.
Right.
Aye. Apparently the Hydro, she got cut off for going over the time, like at the curfew.
What do you mean they cut her mics off?
Aye.
And they can do that or they get a massive fee for that, or not fee, aye. Penalty charge.
Aye. Madonna can pay it.
Remember she went through that phase she kept fucking falling down the stairs at every gig she did.
That was very iconic.
Do you know, Paul, and I hope you're not offended by this if you're a massive fan of Madonna, but the one thing that gets me, and I just think, come on, please, and it's such a minor thing, but I feel like every time it happens, I kind of judge a bit. She always airbrushes the absolute life out of her photos and changes them, and I'm like, just embrace, because you're amazing. You are iconic.
It's true. Sometimes I'll look at her Insta and I'm like, Madge, what are you up to? Like, she looks like,
you don't look like that.
Drag queens do that all the time that have been on RuPaul's Drag Race. They're obsessed with like airbrushing her face tuning to
face
like
tuning everything
how out. They don't look human, but she does it as well. And I'm on one hand, I'm like, Madonna, what are you doing? But I'm like, she's probably that's society's problem that's forced her to do that.
I know. Do you think she's got somebody that does it for her? Do you think she's sitting
there? Oh, 100%.
No chance she does it.
What, you think? So do you guys think she's got somebody sitting face tuning her pics to the way she looks?
Her 25-year-old boyfriend, probably.
That always freaked me out a bit. I have learned, I never realised, I used to think, like, how did girls all get that, like, one makeup look? And then I watched a girl did, like, a tutorial.
Tutorial.
On her face and how she did it, and I thought, fuck me, that's what they're all. It is magic.
I spent time consuming in it.
Yeah, I also just think I would rather take the you're better looking in real life than like which again is a bit of a backhander, but I would rather take that than fuck's sake, you are like a gorilla in the mist.
Aye, person.
It was actually Joe that kept saying that to me. I don't know where it came from.
Who's calling you at?
Yeah, a gorilla in the mist. No, do you know what actually? Do you know what my nag is? You know when somebody like says something and it's actually really funny, so you have to laugh. But Joe started calling, nicknaming me the Memphis Grizz. And I'm laughing saying it, but it's so fucking edgy.
I like that.
And it's
what do you mean?
I discovered because he kept saying it to me and I was like, well, shut up. But the more you fight somebody calling you the Memphis Grizzly, the more you're acting like one.
Sounds like a serial killer.
It's a football team in America and he'd obviously just seen it. So now that's my nickname.
That's funny. I like that. I like the nickname. I used to get called Pauline Fowler in school. iconic EastEnders character. So, or polythene bag.
Polythene bag.
Yeah, all quite feminine sounding.
Guys, this is going to, I mean, you'll be sad for me. I used to get called in school stoner because I always looked stoned and I never smoked.
And where are you stoned?
My life.
Never.
I wasn't, Paul.
Oh,
and that's the upsetting part. It was traumatizing.
Did you mean Cassandra?
No, just Cassie.
Casserole.
Do you know what I was thinking about this? I
must have been nobody called Cassie when you, because I mean, I don't know anyone else called Cassie actually. So there must have been even less people called Cassie when you were in school.
My mum got it from the credit of Neighbours. So she told me that's why it's spelled differently as well.
Also,
but
I've just noticed that on your Zoom that it actually doesn't have an E. I've probably spelled it T with an E before.
Every fucker does. It is fine. I think if anything, I probably should have changed it by now just with an E,
no,
so it doesn't
like
annoy me as much.
I feel like if your name's like unique like that, you're born to be a star. That's what I think.
Well, thanks, Paul. What's happened then?
You're a star.
Still to come?
No, as I think you're destined.
Lassie doing the travelling, Clyde One, you're a star.
Yeah, that's what you've been a household name for a long time and you're young still, so that's a star.
Also, it's like the Madonna effect that it's just Cassie.
Yeah.
Well, I know you do have a last name, but people don't need to say it.
Do you know the worst thing is? See, if I go and do a gig like a corporate, right, and they've made like a slide with your picture on it and your name. See, when they say DJ Cassie Gillespie, I'm like, oh.
I couldn't believe that that's how you said your last name because for ages I was reading it as Giuseppe.
I know.
My mum was like, Giuseppe, I was saying that.
And do you know what? I love it because it sounds so much more exotic. So,
you know, Cassie, that's what I just have I'm not trying to out myself as looking like a gamer or something here, but I have two screens here on my desk. And I actually just noticed that email you sent me is still up there. And when I opened that, that's the first time I've seen your surname. I thought you were first name Cass, middle name Cass, second name G. Cass G.
No,
but here we are, Gillespie.
No, it's when if somebody phones up as well, they'll be like, hello, Mrs. Gillespie. And I'm like that. No, it's Gillespie. And they'll go Gillespie, and I'll go Gillespie, P-I-E.
But if you just break it down, it's very how it's spelled.
It is what it
is. I know. I don't know how I got it so wrong, but that's the name I've struggled with it forever. Because I just remember seeing people with that name, and I always thought it was Giuseppe. My mum was like, "What the fuck?"
That's ridiculous. Like, I hate when that happens in life when you something forever. And then you just realise, I've always been wrong. Do you know what I always thought? You know the saying, let bygones be bygones, right? A famous saying. I always thought bygones were like bison, you know, the animal, like a big bison. So I thought they obviously were just like really stubborn or something. And they were like, just let the bisons be bisons. But I thought that's what bygones was. And I swear I realized this about 2 years ago. I'm 25.
You feel like your world is turning upside down when that happens.
So wait, Paul, did you build up this image of bisons like they were stubborn animals? Like,
aye, right.
Okay.
We just need to let them be.
Right. Let bisons be bisons.
Do you know what I had one with? And my mum again told me this. I could not believe it. If something was like hot on the trends, would you say it's all the what?
The rage.
I thought it was all the rage. Until like last year, so I've been confidently saying it to people at my work.
Well, my mate would say all the rave. She would say like...
Rave is like, more understandable to
I
get.
I thought it was like all the range. Like rage. You've got a range of it. It's everywhere. It's in all the shops.
Oh, that's terrible. That's I was saying that to someone.
And I always thought it was... a swear word? A profanity.
Aye.
Again, confidently. I was confidently saying profanity. My mum was like, what is that? And I was like,
that's what life's all about, guys.
I know.
You love me. I think it's, you know, I used to be one of the people that would like hear someone use a word and I didn't know what it meant. And I would just be like, oh, yeah, of course. But then now I've like, it's very liberating in life to just go, what does that mean?
And just ask.
It saves time. You feel it less than a day because you actually learn. So
I always get my
tip for life.
The two words that I get mixed up, and it's like, you shouldn't really get these mixed up, is monogamous and monotonous.
Yeah,
so that's fair enough, though. That's totally fair enough.
Monogamous, what does that mean again? It means
like you're in relationships instead of like you're constantly in long term relationships.
And monotonous,
monotonous would be like it's boring.
Boring.
Well, actually,
it means the same thing.
Linked there somewhere.
I know we're talking about it's good when people learn, but you know what I hate? Here's a nag for you in keeping with the podcast. Seeing people get lions and tigers confused, that makes me.
Who the fuck gets lion and tiger?
Have you ever had people that are like, I don't know if this is just when I'm younger, but like,
what?
People that get lions and tigers confused. That is definitely a thing.
No, it's not.
Like,
they're
so different.
I know. That's what I would say.
Are you thinking more like panthers and I don't
aye,
know?
That's
like,
never, I have had jaguars.
People, I've had people confidently say that lion and it's a tiger and they're like same thing and I'm like they're totally fucking different.
I think that's ridiculous. I've never heard that in my life. I get what Cassie was saying there, maybe like jaguars and pumas all that
we're all on the same team. Or people that get specific and Pacific wrong, that also
do that intentionally, it'd be funny, and then people sometimes people correct me and I'm like, I obviously know, I'm just trying to lighten the mood.
I'm going to ask you what your nags are now.
Well, I was thinking long and hard about this and I was thinking I'll try and keep it relevant and current, and I thought what has really annoyed me lately, and so I recently got a dog, right? And it's a whole long story. She's just fucked. Why I see the nick here.
Is this
my dog Dorinda. I've people might have heard me talk about it on social media, but yeah, it's quite the story. But
she come to be?
Okay, right. You've twisted my arm, I'll tell the full story. Right. So sorry for people that know this already in detail. So basically, I was looking for a dog. I was like, do you know what? I'm self-employed now. AKA half the time unemployed, I could get a dog. So I looked on Gumtree, but I didn't want a puppy because I thought too much effort, don't want it shiting in the house and all that. I'm no dealing with that. I want an old dog. So I was looking up for elderly dogs. Couldn't find any on Gumtree in Glasgow, and I went on something called freeads.com, not even Gumtree. And I found this. I can't even call her a pug because she's if you've seen a picture of her, she's in the living room the now, she won't hear me, but she's fucked up. Anyway, so she's this disheveled looking creature, and it's like she was four. Let me tell you, she fucking isn't he? She's about 12. She had to get a new home because it was the person's granny's dog, and the granny died, and she already had two dogs, so she was just looking for a good home. And I was like, oh, that's nice. It was in Carlisle. So I thought, I'll go and visit her. Went down. Me and my flatmate went down to see it. And we got in the house. This woman, she opened the door and she was like, oh yeah, come in, come see the dog. And then I went in and like I felt really bad. Like it just wasn't a nice environment for a dog to live in. And she had about 20 wains running about. She had ferrets. She had another pug and a lurcher. And then she was like, oh, this is her. This is her. Do you want her? And I was like, fuck, just go here. That's a bit fast. I was just going to come visit her. But she's like, you can take her whenever you want. So I'm asking her about it. I'm like, so what's she like? What food does she eat? She like dry food? She like wet food? And she's like, oh, she loves kebabs. She absolutely loves kebabs and chocolate biscuits, custard creams.
Oh, it's poor dog's cholesterol.
I was like, fuck me, right. This dog needs saved. I was like, one, look at the Nikia. Physically, she's not a looker. She's not going to get by on that in life. She's eating kebabs. I need to save this dog. But then I thought, right, don't make any rash decisions because I'm very like that. I just do things in the moment and very impulsively. So I was like, no, I'm going to go home. I'll think about it. And then when me and my flatmate were talking about it, like, we need to save her. We need to save her. She's that's no life for her. So I went back down. I went to pick her up. I gave the woman £300. She said to me, please give me it in cash only. And I was like, right, okay. Don't ask any questions. Gave her £300 in cash for this wee dog. I was taking her up the road back to Glasgow and I was like, she's so fat. I was like, she's just got a skinny wee face, but she's got a massive belly. Cousin and her girlfriend came up to my house and who you know, Hazel, your friend, Roisin. Shout out to Hazel and my cousin Carlin who came up to my house and they were like, she's pregnant. And I was like, she's not pregnant. And I was like, look at her.
She only had nipples.
Her tits were I don't even know how I didn't know. I feel like I did it right. Anyway, I won't spoil the story. And then my cousin was like, just take her to the vet and she'll probably just need a checkup anyway because, you know, she looks like she wasn't living in the best home.
Please tell me you held her paw and they scanned her.
Well, you're not allowed to go in.
Right, okay.
You are new. But at this time, this was Christmas Eve. Took her to the vet, went in and I was like, right, so just got this dog. Just basically wanted to check if she's got any health problems or that. She looks terrible. And then the woman came out and she like, honestly, it was like an X Factor when they put them in a room and they tell them if they're going to go through or not. And then Simon Cowell walk judges in and be like, I'm really sorry to let you know, guys. You're going to the judge's house or whatever it is, right? That's basically what happened. She came down, she sat down and she went and turned around this bit of paper and it said, guide to birthing puppies. And she went, she's pregnant. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me on?
And then, where's the dad?
Well, just you wait, Roisin. Just you bloody wait. Right, so then I was like, fuck's sake. And she went, also, she's likely to give birth in the next 12 to 24 hours. And I was like, fucking
pissed. And this is Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so it would be Christmas Day. So I was like,
you could not write this.
I know.
It's also extortionate to have a puppy on Christmas Day out with the normal hours.
Stop ruining my story. You're ruining a good title part of it. Right, so then I was like, she's going to give birth on Christmas. It's going to be like the Immaculate Conception. I'm going to have to call the puppy Jesus. Then she just didn't give birth, but she was freaking the fuck out, like just acting insane, like pure panting and all that. And then my friend Mia's mum had just, dog has just had puppies recently, so she brought me one of those like big crates and all that, so I was sorted. But I was sending Kendra and Flammy out up and down the Paisley Road West looking for all sorts of things to get to deliver this puppy. We were up all night watching YouTube tutorials on how to do it. And the vet, I was phoning the vets, but it's out of hours obviously because it was Christmas and then Boxing Day. Phoning the vets, she's going to give birth on Christmas, so I phoned the vets and they're like, she'll probably need a C-section because she's a pug and because she's a bit older. So that'll need to be done here at this hospital and it'll cost roughly about £1,800. And I was like,
shit.
And then she was like, but let's hope that she just does it herself. And I was like, she's not doing it herself. Can't hold her head up, she's not doing it. And then days and days passed, took her to the vet again. So I think this was like the 28th of December or something. Normal vet was back open, took her there. She was like, oh, I don't know, she'll must just be holding off. She must be stubborn. I was like, can we stop joking here? I was like, that's
I'm
an experience. Why is she not giving birth? And she was like, I'll do a wee scan, but that's going to be a bit expensive for you today. I was like, stop trying to be my pal. Unless you're giving me it for free. And then she did a scan and she's like, she's only got one puppy. And I was like, oh, that's fucking weird. And she went, this is normally because either because the dog's old or it's like, because the father of the dog is direct incest. So I was like, oh, of course, did she live with our dad, who was in a pub called Frank the Tank. And she kept calling him Frank the Tank. So that was our dad. So obviously I'm thinking, right, poor Hank, she'd been shagged after that. She's pregnant. She's about 19. I'm just going to keep adding years on. And then then I'm like, fuck's sake, right, anyway. She did pass, and then she's still not having this way, and I'm freaking out. I'm putting on dog birthing music on my telly, on my Fire Stick, to try and calm her down, because she's just like panting all that, freaking out. Me and Kendra are taking turns sleeping in the living room all night.
The thing is, technically, like, you're a new dad as well to the pug. I mean, emotions must have been high as shit.
Well, I was. It's Christmas. I'd had her for 5 minutes, and now I went from being a daddy a granda instantly. But anyway, I went in and it got to, I think it was New Year's Eve, day before New Year's Eve, vet closed again. She was freaking out. I took her to them out hours vet, and they gave her like an anti-sickness thing, and because she'd been sick and all this, and then that cost me like nearly a grand for all the things in. So I was like, perfect. On top of the 300 quid I gave this woman. And then I next day came home, and we were like, we can't keep staying up all night, setting alarms all night to just check if she's all right. We can't do it. Like, let's just go to bed, like, because it's not happening. It's clearly not happening, I think. And we're like, she's probably not even got a probably phantom pregnancy. And then one day...
You'd be cursing that wee thing as all the money you'd spent. You'd be like, that wee fucker better give
her. I know, I was raging. She was like, she better after what she put me through. And then it was like 4 a.m, and Ken just came, woke me up. She's like, Paul, it's happened. Came out one wee rat-looking puppy just sitting there. Dorinda, my dog, Dorinda, looking the worst any cunt's ever looked in their life, traumatised, she's not interested in the puppy, she won't try to escape the pen to get her life back, she was not interested, so we had to bottle feed the puppy for the first week, with like a baby's bottle, but it was too big, so we had to get a Calpol syringe to feed it, and then eventually she took to the puppy, and then she started looking after it, but...
What's the puppy's name?
The puppy, so I called her Ramona because, you know, I actually changed Dorinda's name because I read that it was good to change the name if they were in an abusive household, which I'm 99% sure she was. And I mean, obviously, I just wanted to call after my favourite Real Housewife. So I called the puppy Ramona because that's another Real Housewife in New York. But then, so my producer that I worked with basically stepped in and helped me out because actually I had 12 live shows to do that next week. They were like, we need a rehearse, and I was like, I can't. I'm like a full-time granda and dad. And then she was like, I'll step in, I'll help you with it. And then she ends up having the puppy for a while and my dog and looked after them. And she kept the puppy and she called it Lola. And I've seen it today.
Nice.
Seen it today. It's all healthy and alive and thriving. And
she's looking okay.
Even though... she's fine, but she fuck knows what she is.
It's not like the Hills of Eyes or anything like that.
No, but now I'm like, I don't think it was her dad. I think it was the lurcher. Because it's all right. Weird looking. And then I'm like, imagine a lurcher, not to be graphic, but imagine a lurcher shagging a pug. That doesn't add up.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But hey, so
it could be anybody.
You'd
be lying if you said you never thought about these things when you do see particular like crossbreeds. Is your nag basically what becoming a dog dad?
Well, no, my nag is, I know that was a long-winded way to get to my nag, but my nag was that... This morning I was just taking her a walk, and as you do as a responsible citizen, you pick up your dog's shite, and I just thought, I need to pick up every shite that dog does until she dies.
Bless me. I would say it depends where she shites.
What do you mean?
Like, you're saying you can get away with no picking up?
Depends. I wouldn't be raking about the long grass for a jobby in the park.
That's frowned upon when you're a dog.
It depends where it is, right, you're right. But most in the park, out the back, I need to pick it up. And I just thought, I need this every time she shits until I die. And I just had a pure revelation. And I was like, that's terrible. My life's over. Because it's not even like having a baby, because they stop shiting themselves.
That's true.
Fuck going.
I would really struggle to pick up a dog shit. Yeah, I do it regularly.
You're basically doing... Well, you're doing everything, aren't you, though? You're picking up its shit, you're feeding them, you're telling them that...
But I also do it, on the other hand, like, I feel like it's the first time in my life I have responsibility over something. Like, I need to make sure that dog's alive. That's a bit much.
Do you enjoy it?
A young man like me, only age 25. barely 25.
That's like Jacqueline Wilson book.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know about Jacqueline Wilson, more of Ian Rankin, I think.
Yeah, Jacqueline Wilson.
Jacqueline Wilson, honestly, hit out with some, I wouldn't even be surprised. Some of the stuff I read from her, and I was like, I actually used to count the units of wine that my mum drank because I was, she's going to leave in the night.
Do you know, I was really traumatised by it. Do you ever watch the Tracy Beaker movie?
No.
Yes.
Called Tracy Beaker, the movie of me. It's like a pure gritty drama. She finds
her. Is
that
the one where her mum comes back?
Right, she finds her mum, and it turns out she's not a Hollywood actress. She's actually a stunt double, which is still cool, actually probably cooler, but she's ashamed. So her mum's like, oh, Tracy, I'm so glad you've came to see me. And then she goes, oh, go and stay at my flat. I'll be back soon. She goes out drinking all weekend, doesn't come back with all sorts of strange men. And Tracy's lying there waiting for her. I'm like, this is a bit hard hitting for me.
Oh, it was?
At that age, I was like, this is quite, it's like a Ken Loach film.
I read them. There was one called Clean Break, right? And if you listen to this podcast, like Jacqueline Wilson, you'll know the trauma. My dad fucking walks out Christmas Day. Every Christmas morning when I got up, I was like that.
Oh my God. I just want to say, is Jacqueline Wilson all right? Because she's
something to check in on her.
I think she's doing well, actually. She's having a new book coming out, I'm sure.
Queen. What a legend.
Yeah. She must be sitting on a fucking fortune.
Aye. Not only of money, but of my admiration.
I feel like I can't really remember Jacqueline Wilson, the books, but I do.
I didn't read them. I don't get it. People are always talking about they used to read loads as a way, and I'm like, I've only read as an adult. I didn't read books as a child.
I read them as a child, and I was it totally warped my personality because I was.
Made you who you are.
Yeah.
See, I think if I was to read them now, it would bring back like terrible nostalgia in terms of like, because my family situation was like typical Glasgow, it was really weird, like it wasn't, you know, so I think if I was to read them I'd be like, well, it's hitting home. Not good for my mental
state. But it was about like schizophrenic mothers and stuff who would like there was one, right, called Dustbin Baby, and the girl had a baby and she was like 14 and then she put the baby in a bin, and I was reading this
in the Jacqueline Wilson book.
You're joking.
No, I think that was a plot, but I might have added. No, I'm sure.
I need to go now on my big massive screen in front of me.
Right. I tell a lie.
Dustbin Baby.
I was still absolutely fucked. And that wasn't even the worst. There was one. My sister Jodie was the most traumatic one I've ever read in my life. And I actually remember when I read it when I was about 10 and I was weeping. I was weeping like a woman. I was pure. Talk about puberty and starting your periods. That was my first experience of womanhood.
Can I just say, I was just reading the plot of Dustbin Baby. And Roisin's highly fabricated this story. For entertainment purposes. Based on Jacqueline Wilson's novel, following the story of a teenager who sets out... Oh, wait, no, this is TV adaptation.
But the one, my sister Jodie, no spoilers if anybody's... I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast.
That's why you can put out a spoiler alert for a book that came out fucking how long ago?
And I know, literally 94. About 15 years ago. I sometimes watch things like 10 years later and I get so annoyed with spoilers and I'm like, nah, I need to move on. But my sister Jodie... If anybody's read this and all know the trauma, and it was about this girl and she had a big sister. Anyway, they moved to like a new, they lived like on the school grounds. I don't know, that was a bit weird. And then our sister had these big, massive high heels. Anyway, she pure loved her sister. And our sister was meant to be dead cool. And she climbed up in front of the whole school and did something and fucking fell out the window and broke her neck. And all that was left were her shoes. And I was actually crying. Honestly.
That's obviously good. Storytelling, because like all these years later you're talking about and it really had a physical reaction to even
it was like real. I remember I was in my bed and I was about 9 and I was pure my mum was like you're all right, but my mum pure loves reading, so she's probably like, yes, she's having her book awakening, because your show is obviously all about your self-create era. And I loved every second. I was going to ask you and you, Cass, what would be your top form of self-care? Like, what would be the more like your favorite forms of self-care? Mine, personally, to start you off,
yeah,
is taking the long drive home and stopping and smoking a fag with a nice view. That's mine.
That's actually so nice. I love doing that as well. I would never. That's very specific as well, and I totally like that. That's my vibe.
It's the root with more trees.
Yeah.
Oh God.
You know, sometimes I. Well, no, I'm not going to steal yours. I can't just steal yours. Because I just seen my show. I had 12 steps of self-care, but none of them were as nice as that. That brought a tear to my eye.
I mean, but it wouldn't have felt like a two-hour show though, would it?
Aye, that's true.
It's not you as
can say, what about that? Smoking a bag, nice view. Thanks for coming.
The end.
Well, Matt, I would say, if I'll reference my show just because I'm on the spot and I can't think of anything good, Matt, one of my steps was about watching reality TV to relax. I think that's a form of self-care because there's too many people that are like, listen, I'm a pure like film guy as well. I'm a filmmaker, I'm a writer, I'm a director, but I am also will watch any reality TV show ever. And I think that's a form of self-care because you just escape reality. And that's what's up.
Right, okay. The pressure is on here, like, guys. Like, I'm so stuck.
If you word it different, what's your ultimate, now that I'm the new host, I'm interviewing you, what's your ultimate relaxation thing? What do you like to really relax? But
Paul, it's like literally massage. Like, I would go, that's good. It's just so boring.
Just because it's basic.
That's good.
No, I know it is, but I'm a basic bitch.
What type of massage? Because, you know, there's this place.
Hot stone.
Oh.
Imagine you were like crotch.
Oh, guys, can I talk? I feel like I've told this story already. I'm sure I told it to my gran. She was very underwhelmed, but every story I tell her, she's underwhelmed. She's not a typical Glasgow gran. But they were rubbing me the hot stones last week. And the girl did something really, like, just did something so slip minor. Slip a digit? But, well, nearly, right?
Slip a digit? I should have said I thought you said desk.
No, she used her digits for this next thing. She rubbed me with the stones. She rubs them down my arms, puts the stones, and my hands are like, you know, like you feel a bit stupid when you get a massage because you're literally limp, right? So your hands are like that. Very vulnerable. She puts the stones in my hands and just leaves them there as if I'm holding them, but I wasn't holding them. It felt really liberating. Like, I was like, I don't know. I just, you know that way. So my hands, if you imagine, were just like, ugh. And then it was like, I was just holding it like that. And I was like, I love the feeling of this.
Oh, I like that.
I can't describe. It's hard to describe. But it was just something, as that I say, sounds such good, a
that sounds
touch.
Very, very
good. This is your bisexual awakening.
Maybe.
I went for a massage. I've heard
quite a lot of things about massages, and not in the obvious way that you might think I'm talking about, but I mean, like, massage places where, like, it just gets a wee bit too intimate and you don't know what's going to happen next, but then it doesn't happen, but you think
me and Joe went for a couple's massage, try not to be sick. I hate having to start the story with that, but I have to, otherwise it doesn't.
We've all been there, we all remember our first couple.
It's the same, like, well, to be fair, we were in Turkey and it was included. But Joe, what is, I feel like a couple's massage has got the same energy as when people tell me they're trying for a baby. I'm like, you've already said far too much.
Yeah, I don't need to know. And now I feel sick. I can get it.
Yeah, and trying for a baby, I'm like, okay, I know what that means. I don't know. Anyway,
I was going to say, there's no point in couples massage because you could not be with somebody.
Well,
I know what's coupley about it.
It was because, here was the thing. We didn't actually know. We were in Turkey and it was called a hammam bath. And they basically scrub you. And I get really bad skin on holiday and I get really, really bad heat rashes. And they were like, this will cure all and it'll make your tan last longer. So I was like, sign me up. Anyway, I'll tell a quick version of the story. Went, gave us robes. Nobody spoke English. So I thought, okay, robe. I'll take my top off and enter the room top.
That's a problem. Always.
And then I realised it was a couple's massage. It was two women doing it. The door was open. All the hotel punters were walking past. And I took my robe off and she said, no top. And I said, I thought that was what. And she said, no. And I said, well, do you want me to come put my top back on? And she said, no, we don't have any time now. And then they had to do a frontal rub. Honest to God. It was like a frontal rub and I had no top on, the door was open. I was mortified. And I was like,
are they not meant to rub your tits?
I think that's why you keep a swimsuit on. Because I was my snooker balls and socks and poor women. And they also rub your tummy, which was horrific because obviously makes you need a fart. And it's obviously like a mad steam room. with like loads of.
That sounds fucking horrendous. See, that sounds like something you'd go into being like, this could be the most relaxing moment of my life, and then turns out to be the fucking worst thing you've ever done.
And also, like, any sort of like, I know I'm not in any way toned or athletic, but there's just something so degrading about somebody rubbing your belly and it's jiggling. And it's just like,
I know it's like, not, yeah.
But no, I felt like Barney Rumble from the Simpsons, and I had no top on. I just thought, this is horrific. That's my massage story. And then I went for another one again. I was like, I really need to.
You just couldn't help it. You wanted round two.
Yeah, I just thought I really need to not do a. Need to not
do it right this time.
Yeah.
Paul, I'm just aware that we've had you for a very long time. So, Can we like finish things off by asking what is coming up next for you?
So what is next for me? I never know what I'm allowed, and I love saying this, I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about. But no, I genuinely, I've got some shows coming up later in the year that I've not announced yet, but okay. Going to be going back to the Edinburgh Fringe doing a proper run this time, so... doing the full shebang. No, I'm not doing the full shebang, that's a lie. I'm doing some dates there that I'll be announcing soon, the venue and stuff, but that's something got on the horizon. Got a few wee projects, more stuff. Maybe I'll fucking probably maybe put a TikTok out once in 6 months, because I have the worst posting schedule out of any cunt ever. I just don't do it.
I know, I'm still loving it. I know I said this to you last time I saw you, but just the mum ones for me always get me, man. I love them.
They're just so easy to do that I could just fire them out, but I'm like, people don't get sick yet. Too much TikTok generation, and in the comments, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, somebody told me I look like Rod Stewart once wearing a suit, and I did, but I thought
my favorite one, someone just commented my TikTok and just wrote bald soon. I was like,
it's like Baba Vanga. Is that like a prediction or like a?
Yeah, I was like, do you know what? Fair, I like how you didn't waste any words there. To do a roast in the future where I just get people to roast me.
Rank your top three favourite famous followers.
Well, you've seen my show, Roisin. You know who mine's are.
You have a few good ones.
Well, Michelle McManus, my favourite.
Nicola Sturgeon.
Well, who could I pick for three? Because I named five. Do you know who actually followed me the other week? It was so weird. February, I done my last show at the Oranmore Run. I just came off stage and it was my last show, and I just got a DM for Kevin Bridges, and he was like, all right mate, just discovered your videos, absolutely love them, been pishing myself at them all day.
Oh, and that's so like, nice.
That is a fever dream. So you do not let that pinch my
I'd literally mouth. Just got off stage as well. I actually met me the other day as well, and I'm like, oh my god, well that oh, yeah, but I'm the tight. Aye, there's a good few, you know.
I would do what you said on your show. I'd need to,
put them in a group chat.
I drank, put my phone in airplane mode, I'd do that anyway. Because I
said in my show basically that every time I'm drunk, I need to stop myself from messaging them, because see, once they follow you on Twitter and Instagram, TikTok, you can message them. And I even typed out that once I was streaming my pals at 5 in the morning, I typed in, all right, Marty Boy, hey, Martin Combs. And I deleted it.
Oh, he'd laugh at that, though. I have to drop in here that off the back of his holiday in Scotland, Tim Peake followed me. And I mean, imagine I messaged him when I was drunk, Tim Peake.
Have you done it?
No, not yet.
I would do it.
I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, when I got verified, I was like, that Tim Peake's followed me. Life is made. Been into space. That's somewhere iconic. I will never go.
You might. I told you you're a star.
Thank you so much for joining us in the Nags and Brags podcast.
Thank you so much.
I know you've got a Pisano waiting for you, so
I do. Don't want to keep me I can any smell longer. It.
Right, okay. So thank you
so much for having me, guys. It was actually so much fun. I don't just say that to all the girls. I really enjoyed it. It was really nice to chat to you.
It was lovely to meet you.
You too.
It'd be good to meet you in a night out. Hopefully there's alcohol as well. I'm sure we get a good laugh.
Aye.
Well, bye, Paul. Have a lovely Pisano.
Thank you. Have a lovely night, guys. Thank you. Oh, I don't even know how to hang up. I'm just going to close my laptop. Does this work? Does this end the call?
No, we can't. No. We're not going away. Just
no, wait. Got it. It was cause my mouth. I told you I got this set up. It's cause my mouth. Right, I've got it right. I think I'm going. Bye for real this time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Nags and Brags podcast. If you have any guest suggestions, topics you want us to cover, or just want to say hi, you can reach us on Instagram at Nags and Brags podcast, or you can email us at hello@nagsandbragspodcast.com. Or we are still on our personal social medias at CassCassG for Cassie, funnily enough, and at Pals Before Girls for myself. Thank you for listening, and make sure you join us again. I sound like a phone sex operator.